Hey there, everyone. This is Brandy Von Holten with Big Boss Mare Podcast. Okay, so today I have with me Jennifer Fizer. All right, Jennifer, tell everybody the name of your business.
I own Brick House Coffee Bar and Eatery in Harrisonville, Missouri. We're a coffee shop and eatery, obviously. We serve breakfast and lunch 6 days a week.
Okay, what is the one day? I take it that it's Sunday?
Yep, we're closed on Sundays.
Okay. What time do you open?
Monday through Friday, we open at 6:30, and then on Saturdays, we open at 7:30, and we close on Mondays and Saturdays at 2, and every other day at 4.
Okay. So you have now been open for 1 year.
Mm-hmm. We just had our 1 year anniversary.
Okay. And whenever you did this business, whenever you first opened this up, you opened it up with your mother.
Yes.
Correct. Okay. Yep. So this is a women's based business that it's just a mom and a daughter. Now, do you have any other brothers or sisters or anything?
I do, but they are not involved in the business. And my mom is actually not local. So she lives in Illinois. She's been down a few times to help out, but it's mostly me running it.
Okay, so mom and daughter open the coffee shop, but then you are the one that's here putting in the hours.
Yes.
Making all executive decisions.
Yes.
Okay, so what made you decide to open up a coffee shop?
So it was an existing business when we bought it, and it was kind of a whirlwind decision, honestly. Okay. I found out that the coffee shop was for sale the day after Labor Day in 2019. I called my mom. I was like, I think this would be a really great thing to do. I talked her into it, basically. And so we spent about 2 weeks kind of pouring through financials and trying to decide if this is something that we actually wanted to do, because obviously it's a lot of work to own a business, and it was going to completely change my schedule for sure and okay. take up a lot of time. So we ultimately came to the decision to make an offer. And so we did that on September 19th. Last year, they accepted, and then we took over October 1st. So all of this happened in less than 30 days.
Oh, yeah. So September 19th and then October 1st you took over.
Yes.
So how many days are in September? Like 30?
Yeah, we had like 11 days to get an entire business transferred over to us.
Okay. All right. So have you ever owned a restaurant or a coffee shop or anything like that before?
No. Okay. I've worked in the food industry during high school and college. I worked, you know, in restaurants and bars. My husband, he did the same. But as far as owning one, no, I had no experience. My job is as a CFO for a farm. And so I had quite a bit of experience as far as, you know, knowing financials and being able to tell if something was profitable or not. But
okay, so never owned a coffee shop before.
Nothing about coffee.
Okay, honest. Did you drink it before?
I mean, just like your plain Folgers, but
okay.
Nope.
So now that's not the case anymore. You like your coffee.
Yes,
now,
I right? do, yeah.
Okay, so, all right. What made you be like, hey, what was the number one thing like that made you want to be like, okay, I want to change my life. I want to change our business. What was the, okay, we're going to do this. What was that deciding factor?
Sure. So I've always been drawn to business and I don't know, just the idea of owning my own business has always appealed to me. Mm-hmm. So there was that, I guess that was, you know, just kind of an initial attraction. I really love the building that we're in. We're in kind of the historic downtown area of Harrisonville. So that was appealing. There was just kind of a lot of things that kind of all played together that were, and to a certain degree, I feel like my life had been leading me up to that point. Mm-hmm. Like all of the things that I had, all of my jobs, all of my experiences, it was like, this is where we're leading you to. And it was like a kind of a light bulb moment when that happened.
Okay, so emotions. Did you feel fear?
Oh my gosh.
Did you feel excitement? Like, which one?
It was a freaking roller coaster. Okay. And all within honestly the same day usually. Like okay. One day I would wake up and I'd be like, yes, we are doing this. I am so excited. And then 30 minutes later, I'm like, what in the world am I doing? Yep. Why am I doing this? This is stupid. Do I really want to be doing this? You know, signing myself up for this? This is a lot of work.
Okay, so, all right. So, women-based business. Have you run into anything where somebody's like, let me talk to your boss. Is he there? Have you ran into anything
really
like that?
We haven't really ran into that problem necessarily as far as, not as far as like customers or even vendors or anything like that. A lot of our employees are females also, mostly high schoolers, but I would say in general, the vibe here is very female, so we don't get a lot of that.
Okay.
However, I do sometimes, like, there's a lot of things that go wrong in a coffee shop as far as, like, needing maintenance or needing things like that. And sometimes I do get that kind of vibe, like, okay, we're going to talk to the guy that's here because she doesn't know what she's talking about.
Oh, okay. So, like, the person that comes in to fix it, they're yes. kind of like, oh, we yeah. need to talk
or electricity. We don't really need to explain to you what's wrong.
Oh, okay. Just, all right.
You know.
Okay, so hiring and probably firing or letting go mm-hmm. employees. Okay, so is that a new job for you to have?
No. So one of my jobs, I worked at a staffing agency, and so I did tons of okay. interviewing and kind of finding the right fit for people. So that was not anything new to me. My first job out of college, I was an assistant manager at Tractor Supply. And so I also was involved in some hiring and firing there.
Okay.
So that was not new, but it's definitely different when you're hiring for your own business compared to hiring, you know, just somebody that's going to work for the same company.
Okay. Okay. So, you know, what I have found about employees, like we have people that come and go and you get like where they you feel like they're family mm-hmm. and you know them, but then you train them all up and then they go. Mm-hmm. Have you had any of that where it's like, have they went any employees gone to like competitors or anything?
So we've been super lucky. We haven't had anybody that's left to go to a competitor. We have, I mean, some of the most amazing employees, like I said, they're all mostly high schoolers. We have a lot of homeschool kids that work here. And honestly, I kind of joke that I found my niche as far as, like, I'm going to hire homeschool kids. But okay. We have a really great group. So okay. the only thing that we've really had happen is kids go to college. So okay. we've had that happen. Yeah. But we've had a lot of, you know, people are usually pretty loyal. I feel like we're a pretty cool place to work. Yeah. So
yeah, this room that we're in is beautiful. I mean, there's actual old bricks and you can see all the wear and tear on things, but it's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Like the old mirrors, the old bar, it's just a very rustic, authentic. You're not going to get this in a chain, you know, in a building that gets built in 30 days or whatever.
Right.
Like this right here has a soul to itself.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so, all right, how do you, whenever you're owning your own business, you have scheduling, you've got to buy products, you have to manage I already said scheduling, you have to manage people, you have peaks and valleys and timing and stuff. So what are, like, some of the things that, as a business owner now, that you did not anticipate that you were going to have to spend so much time on?
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know what I'm saying? Like something yes. that you were like, okay, wow, this is like a time hog in my life.
Yeah. I would say, so like specifically to a restaurant, I would say inventory management to a certain degree. Because we are dealing with stuff that's fresh and stuff. So we try to only make a stop or, you know, order product once a week. And that sometimes you just can't anticipate how busy you're going to be. You're running out of stuff and it's like, you know, sometimes we're having to go to the store two or three times a week just to kind of restock on stuff. That I didn't really anticipate that. I was like, oh, well, we'll get it down. We'll only have to make one order a week, and that's going to be it. We'll be good at this. And so there's just things that come up.
You know, I've wrote a couple of children's books, and I always thought that writing the book would be the hardest part, but it's actually editing.
Yeah.
Editing takes me like four times the amount of time as writing the book.
Yeah, I can see that.
So I didn't realize that. I thought it might be 75% of writing the story, 25% editing, but it's like 10% writing, 90%, you know. So that was something. And then with the horse trail riding facility, I never realized how much marketing. Marketing, like, I mean, like, I thought I would be around the horses more.
Yeah.
I am, you know, I do all of our banking and financial planning. And then I still take pictures whenever I have to buy toilet paper or paper towels or soap. I'm like, good Lord, look at all this toilet cleaner I had to buy. So, like, it still cracks me up with how much inventory it takes for cleaning.
Yes.
So, like, those are things, like, I thought, oh, horse trail riding facility, I'm going to have to be trimming trails all the time and cutting firewood and, you know, making sure the horses are good. And I'm all like, oh, no, I got to.
I haven't seen my horses in 3 days.
I know. I got to buy a toilet bowl cleaner.
Yep.
So, okay, so if someone wanted to, okay, I know there's other women out there that they want to do something different than what they're doing. And then they don't know what it is, but what do you, if you had this to do all over again, would you do it?
Absolutely, yeah. Okay. I am happy with my decision.
Okay. And any big plans for, do you want to expand? Do you want to change up? Do you want to do something different? Do you want to, I mean, what are some expansion ideas that you're wanting to do? Well, and don't tell us your secrets, you know what I mean? Because I want to.
Yeah. No, I mean, my next goal is to expand. I would like to have at least a second location. That's kind of always been in the back of my mind. And I feel like now that I have one, I mean, the next natural step is to have another one. And I feel like definitely with the way that I've set things up here, because although I'm here, I'm managing every day, I have like a bar manager and I have a kitchen manager, and they are kind of running their own shows. So I'm not necessarily like in the kitchen making stuff. I am running the business kind of from a higher level. So I feel like expanding to a second location would be the natural next step. And kind of take what we've learned here and apply it to another business, to a second location. So.
Okay, so you want to expand? All right. Is there anything like? Okay, I don't know anything about coffee except for what I like. I mean, have you? Is there any weird mixtures you want to do? Because, like, I am so specific about, here's my hazelnut coffee, I got to have my almond creamer, and I want my organic stevia in it. I mean, like, that's my brew. Do you have, like, I don't know. I'm kind of trying to talk in your world and, like.
Yeah, so I am not a creative person, and I am not a try new things person. So I stick to the same thing. So that is why I have a bar manager that is excellent at coming up with new drinks. We do like seasonal stuff every season. So right now we have our fall drinks. She comes up with all of that each season. We change, so she's already got her winter drinks all planned out.
Okay, so it doesn't all okay, so like, whoo, girl, in my business, I'm beginning to let go of some of that control of, because now we have like an assistant that comes in just for a few hours a week. We have someone that helps with cleaning. We have someone that helps with the stalls, and now we're trying to hire someone to manage our boarding barn and maybe take over a lesson program. But like, man, taking yourself out of that and trying to be the one on top, like the CEO.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I feel like that's where I was actually really blessed with taking over an existing business, because I didn't really have an option. Like, the employees were already all here. And they all knew, I didn't know anything about coffee, nothing. So I was not coming in like, okay, we're going to do this and this and this. I was like, okay, well, whatever you guys know, you're going to have to teach me because I don't know any of it. So I basically from the very beginning had to relinquish control over like the daily tasks because I didn't know them. Okay. You know, I didn't know how to make a drink. I didn't know how to close the kitchen. Like there were just things that I just didn't know how to, I know how to do them now.
Right.
But it was something that I couldn't just come in from day one and be like, I'm the boss. I'm taking over. I'm
so you didn't come in here with like an iron fist. And
no,
be like, this is my coffee shop.
No, not at all. I was like, okay guys. So I know I'm your new boss, but you need to teach me everything you know because I don't know anything.
Okay. Do you know that there's not really a book out there about how to run a horse trail riding facility?
That doesn't surprise me.
No, I couldn't find anything like reservation books. Yeah. I mean, if we wanted to, I think I was going to have to spend $10,000 for a computer program to be able to do reservations, but it was for like hotels. And we're like, we're going to have 40 RV sites, which we do now, but I'm like, I don't need a hotel, you know, software.
You need
for
like
that.
A planner.
Yeah, I needed a planner, but it needed everything. So like we had to create a lot of that. So it's okay. I mean, so sounds like you and I have a lot in common because we didn't know how to run the business that we like dove into. And then you're like, okay, I know how to have leadership skills. I know that I want to have my own business. And then it sounds like there was a lot of, okay, I like this, I like that, this building's already in place, okay? So, and then, man, this right here sounds like it was perfect for you.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I could not have asked for a better situation as far as, like, walking into a business. And it was, like I was saying earlier, I didn't have to walk in and I didn't have any problem employees. I mean, the previous owners had honestly done a really good job of setting things up. So that we wouldn't fail. You know, they had good people in place. We had good systems. So there wasn't a whole lot that we had to, you know, from day one come in and change. We have changed things, you know, now that we've been here. But, like, we could literally walk in day one and be like, okay, this business will still operate even though we don't know what we're doing.
You know, my husband and I mean, we're both in our 40s right now. But one of these days we're going to be too old to do Von Holten Ranch.
Right.
Okay. And we're going to be looking for someone like you that's like, hey, let us show you how this works. You know, one of these days, whenever we're just, we don't want to do it anymore, you know?
Right.
Because I cannot do this for, I mean, like,
exactly.
It's going to, there's going to have to be
80 doing
this. Oh, who knows?
Or
girl?
60, maybe.
Oh, no, I don't know. I love what we're doing, but, you know, there's a lot of businesses out there where, you know, natural aging, you know, maturation happens, and then people can buy these established business, and people care about them. I mean, my business is my child, basically, you know, and so I bet they love that you came in and was like, hey, let's do this, let's, and then the room that we're in, I mean, you have photographers come in here and use this room. We're in, like, the private room in the back that she rents out for executive meetings or photo shoots, just any kind of other.
Yep, we have, you know, baby showers on Saturdays, all kinds of things back here. It's a pretty decent room. I don't know how many people you can fit back here, maybe 15 to 20 if they were all
friendly.
Stationary.
Okay, so, all right, well, I can see how there's a lot of appeal to have a second location because it wouldn't be already set up. You would have to take the things that the current or the previous employees have taught you, and now you understand the business and everything, and now you can grow it to a second location. Okay, so that's, I can see how there's a lot of appeal there because then it would be fresh. It would just be Jennifer.
Exactly.
Jennifer's Coffee. Would not call it, would you still call it Brick House?
Yeah, we've talked about, you know, even like some of the smaller like drive-through options. We could do like Brick House to Go or, you know, like some little cute name that's kind of a.
Okay, well, no. I will tell you with being thick, I love the word Brick House because I have been described as a brick house my entire, like, we have leggings that say Big Boss Mare and Country Tough down the thigh, and I'm like, girl, if you got some leggings that said Brick House, I would wear them. Yes. Oh, my gosh. So, okay, well, let's hear. Okay, so advice for people that are not going into the coffee industry, but women that want to branch out and go into their own business, what are some things that you looked at to say yes?
So, coming from somebody that has sort of that financial background, that was always my number one thing, was like, does this make sense to even buy? Like, is this business, you know, even if it's not making money now, does it have the potential to do so?
Okay.
So looking at financials, and I feel like that's one reason that businesses seem to fail so often is because people just don't know their numbers. They don't know what something costs. They don't know if they're making money or not. So
I'm over here shaking my head because I just couldn't imagine. You know?
I know. But it happens really often, and I feel like that's something that people don't necessarily like to look at. Like, that's not the fun part of business.
Right.
The fun part is, you know, the creativity and, like, coming up with new ideas or, like, building the business. So people aren't necessarily super excited to look at financials, but, you know,
okay,
knowing your cash flow and
know your money, girl.
Know
you need
it.
To know your money. Like, well, like, I can tell you in 2019 how many guests we had at Von Holten Ranch, and mm-hmm. then I can tell you each year, 2020, I already know our numbers. If somebody asked me, I could tell you right now
yep.
how many trail guests we've had come through there. I can, you know, I know our wedding numbers. I know our financial. I mean, I know what percentage we've moved up. Mm-hmm. So, ladies, if you don't know your money, you need to get up on it. Do you
yes.
use QuickBooks?
We do, yep.
Okay.
And we use Square as our POS system, and it integrates really well with QuickBooks. And that's been kind of a blessing, too, because also since we were taking over an existing business, we actually took over their Square account also. So we were able to look. So I can look at years past where we didn't even own the business, and
yep.
I can see, are we improving? Are
right.
we declining? Or is it like, how does this compare to a year or two ago? This year obviously has been a little bit different. So, you know, as a first year in business, it's been a little bit hard to compare to previous years because, you know, COVID. But
oh yeah, so right now, if you're listening to this and it is like 2026, this
yeah.
was recorded in 2020. So her first year open was COVID.
Yeah,
and so they survived it.
Yeah,
yeah.
we opened, or well, we took over in October. COVID hit what, like beginning of March, middle of March, something
yeah.
like that. So, you know, we were fresh.
Yeah,
5 months into the business,
oh, yeah.
but it's been okay.
Yeah, so they just had their 1 year anniversary. Okay, so. Finances, you know, I'll share a little bit. Like, for my business banking accounts, for us, we have one account that I keep open for electronic funds to go into. So we get paid through PayPal, through HipCamp, through Airbnb. We have credit cards. Anything that money comes into that we're not directly depositing into, we have that go into one account, and then I empty it each day. Then I have my primary business account, and then I have an account where I put sales tax into because
mm-hmm.
we pay that quarterly because, hello, if you're trying to be a business lady, you take that sales tax out
yeah.
because you will spend it. Then all of a sudden, you got to pay it, and it hurts because
it does hurt.
Well, it feels like it's coming out of your account, but
yeah.
it was never your money.
Right.
But so we take that out. We have an account for just sales tax. We have the account for electronic, because if something ever happens and they, you know, something bad happens, you know, stuff
mm-hmm.
happens all the time, they can't get to all of our
the rest of your money.
Can't get to the rest of our money. Then we have another account where. Like, we have trainers and stuff come in, and somebody will have to pay a deposit for them. Well, we've got to put that money over because that money gets paid to that trainer. You know, we might take a deposit 10 months before,
mm-hmm.
but if it's a camping deposit, that goes into our regular account. So we have our regular business account, sales tax account, incoming electronic income account, and then we have money that's not ours. It's like future events,
mm-hmm.
or if we, like, hire an artist, like a singer or something, come in and we've got to pay them a bulk about amount of money, we'll put ticket sales in there until the event actually happens, just in case something bad happens and we've got to refund all that money. We don't want to have already put it into our account and sold and spent it.
Right.
Because if it goes into the regular account, it gets spent.
Exactly, yeah.
So do you have any, like, accounting thing that you do that you, you know, anything so, like that?
I just have two accounts, just to say, well, taxes and just our regular account. We have automatic deposits that are from our credit card sales every day, so they automatically get deposited into our account. I have recently read, have you read Profit First?
No. Is that a book?
It's a book, and it's a Profit First, so you take the profit off the top, and then you allocate other, and, but it's got multiple bank accounts that you set up like that. I have considered doing that. I have not went through the process of doing it, but I do. I am definitely a multi-account user myself, so that does appeal to me.
You know, the number one thing that I hear from other business owners is they don't put their sales tax into another account.
Yeah.
And, oh, you'll, the first time that one bites you, you'll take care of it the next time.
We pay ours monthly, so we're not having to go quite as long as you are.
Yeah.
But I do twice a month. I do a transfer into our account for sales tax, just to keep it at a little bit more manageable level. And then every week when we do payroll, I move over any state taxes or whatever that I'm going to have to pay. So,
well, for something for us also, I don't know if this applies to you, but we have commercial property taxes. You know, those are due December 31st. Well, you know, so many people don't start looking at those until it makes the, you know, the holiday season so financially awful. Yep. So we have, if I say so one more time,
oh my Lord. You will figure out every single thing that you say that's like, that is so annoying.
Oh, my gosh. Well, we have now started making monthly commercial property tax payments. And that's been really nice because we put it on 10 payments. And by October, our commercial property taxes are paid. And then we actually don't get to sweat during December, but it hurt every month to make that payment because it's huge. You know, like commercial property taxes are so much more than like personal property taxes and like if you just own property, but as soon as you it's commercial, the taxes are ridiculous. So that was something that I would most definitely recommend is try to get yourself put onto a, you know, contact your county and see if you can make monthly commercial property taxes.
And going with payments. That, even so like insurance, I just paid our yearly insurance premium and we do it in a lump sum. So each month I try to take some out so it's not, you know, payment all at once.
It's awful. You know, we have garbage out where we're at. Well, if you pay for a year of garbage at one time, garbage pickup, then they only charge you 11 months instead of 12 months. So I get a month free. And then we've also found that for our internet provider. So now we don't have a, we started paying a year up in one of our highest grossing months. And then we divided it out to where I think it's like July. We make a yearly payment for garbage. And then I think it might be May or June. We actually make our yearly payment for our internet provider. But then that helps out, you know, over a 12-year time period, you're talking about a year free of garbage or a year free of internet. So, I mean, even though our garbage is like, I don't know if it's, I don't even know how much it is now, probably $90 or $100, but that adds up. And those are some little tricks that I have found for trying to save some money. Do you have anything like that that helps?
So I don't pay any, well, I mean, I don't pay any utilities or anything like that in advance, but I have found, so like a lot of things buying in bulk will help. So there are times, like in the restaurant industry, I guess. So if we've had a really slow week, you know, our inventory, or if for some reason we have sold a lot of coffee but not a lot of food or vice versa, we might be ordering a lot of one thing. But, you know, what I have allocated towards restocking inventory, we might not meet that. So then I like to stock up on things like paper towels and stuff that is, like, freaking expensive. But and you hate, because what always happens is when you run out of them is when you need every other thing. So then you're like doubling your weekly bill just trying to get some of, you know, or cups or things like that that are things that you have to have, but they're not, you know, a vital part of the business, you know. So,
well, you know, like we sell ice cream at our at our ranch. I buy spoons by 1,000. I buy 1,000 spoons at a time. Well, we're going through, we go through 3 boxes of spoons in a year. So if I get a coupon or something and it's like, oh, if you spend this much money, then you save $15 or something. If you spend 100, you save 15. I might be like, well, I, during our busier months in the fall, I tried to stock up on toilet paper and cleaner and spoons and anything like that that I'm going to use in the spring, because winter time for our business is like crickets chirping. I mean, like if it gets cold, nobody's coming out there. Nobody's spending any money, you know, at our place unless it's a reservation or something. But that's only half of their camping fee. So whenever we have money coming in, I'm getting ahead on things that are non-perishable as well. Because then during the spring, whenever we finally like, oh, thank the Lord, money's coming back in. We don't have to be like, oh, now I need to spend $1,000 on cleaning products.
There is nothing more depressing than like thinking that you're like, oh, this was a really good week or month or whatever. And then all of a sudden you're like, oh, and now I have to buy all this stuff. That's just.
So I do the same thing you do where I try to get a little bit ahead. Something that I have found, I don't know if you do any printed products for like marketing, but there's all sorts of sales around Christmas time that I can find for printing. Like a lot of times there's Christmas cards, but instead of getting it printed for a Christmas card, I actually get them printed with like our ranch stuff, but it has nothing to do with Christmas, but it's on the same card as a Christmas card. And they'll do specials like that. And then, whenever they have specials for printing on posters and stuff, I will go ahead and be like, what do I need? And I'm always looking for specials and how I can, like, we have a couple of different businesses. We have a business card on the front, it has the ranch, and on the back it has the wedding venue. So I mean, so it has two fronts, but I had to call to, because usually you have an elaborate front of a card and a non-elaborate back. Well, I needed two fronts. So like, I don't know, is there any, like, do you have
So I've done the same thing with printing, because we use postcards basically as our gift cards. So anytime I get a deal from Vistaprint or something, you know, like that, I'm like, okay, well, let's order some postcards. These will be earning gift cards for the week or for the next, you know, however many months. Anytime, so like Grubhub recently called me, and it was Hub. It's a delivery service. The people, you know, customers place their order online or whatever, and then somebody comes and picks it up for them and deliver. I mean, it's like paying a delivery driver, but you...
This is like Uber for food.
Exactly. There is an Uber Eats also. Very similar. There's another one, too, that I can't recall.
So you save money by doing that? Or you just make more money?
No. So really, what they charge somewhere like 25 to 30% of your product, like of your sale, is what they take. But they called me up not too long ago, and they're like, we will not charge you any fees for 3 months and you can try this out. And like I said, it had not been something that I was super interested in. And we've only had it up for like 3 days. So I can't really tell you yet whether it's working, but I try to take advantage of any new offers like that, like businesses that are calling and like trying to solicit our business. Sometimes I'm like, no, I'm not interested, but something like that where it could help and it's not going to cost me any extra money, but people that have maybe never tried Brick House might order something just because it's available.
Right. Well, we have that. As soon as we can get someone at our place once, they'll come back. Like, our place sells itself. Your place sells itself. I mean, I've been here now two or three times, you know, and I'm like, I live 2 hours away, but I like coming here, and I want to do other events. Like, I did a Goal Setters thing before in January, and now I'm doing a podcast here, you know. And like, I tell people, like, whenever you turned 1 year old, I like, you know, I shared it on social media. And then another person that lives close to you was like, oh, they didn't even know that you existed. So they're like, I'm going to go there, you know, and like the power of here I am, a horse trail riding facility, like a wedding barn, and I'm sharing your stuff from 2 hours away, and it's going to get you business.
Yeah.
So social media.
Yes.
Okay. Social media, it can be an amazing thing for a business. You know, it can be a monster also. So tell us some things that you would recommend for social media.
Being consistent is probably the biggest thing. So I have given access to, I think one or two of our employees has access to, because they're here all the time. They're the ones that are making drinks, they're making food, and sometimes, you know, even though I'm here every day, sometimes I'm so bogged down with just the extra stuff.
Ordering cups.
Yeah. And it's like, oh, shoot, it's, you know, 3 o'clock, and now is not a good time to be making a post because we're getting ready to close. Okay. But they're here when we're opening. They can post the special first thing in the morning, or they can post, you know, if they made a pretty drink, they can post it.
Oh, yeah.
So
and pictures sell, video sell.
Exactly. So that was one thing that was definitely, and I feel like a lot of business owners may be reluctant to give access to your social media to somebody, but, you know, if you've got somebody that you can trust and that's somebody that's really involved in your business, it helps you more than anything. Because if it was up to just me to post, it probably would not get done nearly as much as it does.
Okay. Oh, I have not given my, I don't even know if my husband knows all of our passwords because we have so many social media accounts. So you use Facebook, probably Instagram.
Yes, we do have Instagram, which Instagram is probably our weak point because I think I might actually be the only one that's on Instagram. So unless I remember to like download whatever Facebook post, you know, copy and paste it over to Instagram, sometimes we forget, but.
Okay. Well, also,
we started a TikTok. We haven't posted anything recently, but oh my gosh, it was so much fun. We called it Brick Talk.
Brick Talk. Yeah. I love that. I want to have a business named Brick House. Like, oh my gosh. I had a mule named Bricklin before because she was, you know, strong like a brick, but she was kind of country. So we put the Lynn on there. So it was Bricklin. Now there's going to be like 20,000 kids named Bricklin because we've got it on this podcast. Okay, so women, you should. If you want to try something, you better know the finances behind it. Don't get into something that's going to bankrupt you. Don't get into something to break even. You are in business to make money. It is okay to make money. It's a good thing to make money. You get to do things with that money that you make. And you get to do good for the world.
It's also important. You said it, you know, it's nice to make money, but also if all you're doing is buying a business that's basically just getting you a job, then you're not doing anything different than you're already doing. You know, a lot of people want to open their own business because they don't like their job, or they want to get out of, you know, the corporate world or whatever, but all they do, they buy a business that's not necessarily making any money, but it's taking all of their time, so then you end up resenting that. So I think it's important to find a profitable business, but also not be ashamed to make a lot of money at it. Like, that's the point.
Yeah, I mean, the more money I can make at my business, the more people I can hire and give other people a job. You know, the more kids I can sponsor to do something, the more I can, you know, do other things with it. You know, I can have, I cannot have a heart attack every winter, you know? So there's a learning curve, so it's okay to fall on your face a little
bit. Yeah, and it doesn't have to be your 1 year goal. It doesn't have to be making $1 million in profit or something like that. You know,
a million.
Probably an over exaggeration.
That's a lot of coffee.
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
But I mean, it doesn't have to, it's not something, I mean, you're going to have to hustle for a couple of years. That's definitely not something like, oh, I bought this business and now I'm rolling in cash. But it has to be something that eventually is a possibility.
Right. Yeah, it is nice to have, I want to have someone that manages our boarding barn. I want to have someone that manages our grounds. And I want to have someone that helps manage, I don't know, help manage or like just an assistant to run our trail riding facility, you know. I want to go and do motivational things all over the United States. Well, I can't do that if I'm checking someone in.
Yeah.
Like somebody, a manager is going to have to take that position. But then I want to make all decisions, overall decisions for our business. Mm-hmm. And that's what you're wanting to do with having the two.
Yep. And I think you and I are kind of very similar in this, is that like we work, you know, yeah. and we will do whatever it is that you need to do, but you're always thinking about like, what's next? Like, what's the next big thing that I'm going to do, or what's the next step? So it's not like you're just kind of stuck at that, you know, not that a bottom level. I mean, just like you're not getting, you know, that entry level job does not have to be covered by you if you're moving up in your business.
Right. I'm going to have to train that person, you exactly. know, and then so they can do a great job for us for sure. Okay. So this right here, Jennifer Fizer, and that's F-I-Z-E-R.
Yeah.
Okay. And then tell them, what is the name of your business one more time?
Sure. It's a Brick House Coffee Bar and Eatery in Harrisonville, Missouri. We're on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok.
Oh, I guess, you know, TikTok. TikTok ain't gonna be around. Come on.
Whatever. They just, oh, it'll be good.
It's so much fun.
I love it.
Okay. So, hey, ladies, you can do it. Whatever you want to do. If you want to be a business owner, know your numbers, have a plan.
Always be open to ideas, because you never know what business is going to come into your lap. I had no ideas.
Yeah.
Or no plans to open a coffee shop.
I mean, 11 days she decided yes. And, I mean, sounds like she had 2 weeks of kind of just throwing some numbers around and having heart attacks and moments of joy. And then when she said yes, it was 11 days.
And
then,
my life changed.
And then, boom, here's this entry-level employee that was having to teach her.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was getting taught by high schoolers, so.
That's awesome.
No shame here.
No shame, no shame. All right, guys, I will talk to you again. Y'all have a wonderful day.